Welcome to Do a Blessing CNS Church London's podcast, sharing the good news weekly. We hope you are blessed by today's message.
When you speak, no man can question. The Bible says you shut a door, no man can open. And you open a door, no man can shut. In fact, the Bible calls you your name, Amen. Which means so be it. And see what Martin Jami. Boy, very at your Lord, we pray that answers will come in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's have our seats. God bless us all in the name of Jesus Christ. The first thing I'm going to talk about is the evangelism next week. We are meeting outside the church at 11. We are meeting outside the church at 11. So tomorrow, next week Sunday, please be there. Let me just say a couple of things. Because at times people do not. Number one is that you will never know the fulfillment of your journey as a Christian until you come to understand evangelism. Your Christian journey, there is a particular kind of joy you would never experience until you know, until you win a soul. That's why the Bible says that when they went out to preach, they came back, they were filled with joy. Number one. Number two is that, and I want you to come for the evangelism as if you are coming for a revival prayer service. The reason is that, see, let me just say, for those who know who have been in service for a long time, there are certain things that happen to people. Thomas Ope Kimo Lokedi. So they would, if somebody is having issues around covenant or whatever the case may be, they would say, because at that time, what you are declaring publicly, you are declaring that Christ is your Savior. That's what you're doing. So within that period, it's the one you manja. I used to say to people, when people pray the prayer, and it's a good prayer to pray, Lord, may my star not go down. The practical answer to that prayer is to go out and do that. The Bible says, those that win many to sow, he said, they shall be like stars that will never come down. So rather pray those prayers, just go out and win a soul. If somebody is suffering from lack of productivity in general terms, let's put that in general terms, you can go out and say, God, as I am giving birth to somebody in the kingdom today, may I never be barren. That's what I'm saying. See, it is not that people are just going out to go and know. Out on the evangelism, as we are going now, as God is increasing our boldness as a church, it's important that we begin to remove all protective, because until you venture out to do certain things you never see. You know, we are improving. I thought when you evangelize, you evangelize to people that look like us. But people will just move to one side and just say, how are you? And things like that. Because we just believe that, you know, we first of all talk to people like us before we talk to somebody with long beard to go, no. So we are getting there. But what I'm trying to say is that evangelism next week. If you're coming, prepare as if you're coming for a battle with God. A battle for God. As you are walking those streets, you know, there is, you know, I've seen where God has said, if this person walks this street for me and evangelize, I will give this land for them. And he did. As they were going out sharing the gospel, and God was confirming his word. Because the Bible says, wherever your foot finds, I will give it to you as an inheritance. So what I would say, in essence, in summary to that is, please don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity. Take it as a service that you are coming to encounter God. And I am sure that our life will not defy scriptures. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we are looking at the topic of harming yourself. Harming yourself. Harming yourself. Now, when you are harming yourself, if I say take this thing to harm yourself, what I'm saying is that you need this thing to protect yourself. Does that make sense? Now, one of the things I am also saying in that same sense is that there is a high possibility that something will happen. So when that thing happens, you are well equipped to protect yourself. So I would say, harm yourself with this. Now, when you see, when you are in a plane, and God forbid, the turbulence began to shake, and began to shake the plane, and it was huge, and all those kind of things, and things began to happen. Everybody in the plane will begin to, Jesus help us, Jesus help us. Do you know the person that can never shout Jesus help us? The pilot. Because he cannot be running around the way everybody's running. If he had to join and say, hey, please, what's happening? Can somebody pray for us? Everybody's, you can answer your prayer in heaven. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, the reason why the pilot is not that he's armed with information, he knows what to do. So, the difference in the two people in the same plane is that one is harmed and one is not. So, we are going to come to a place where the Bible tells us to harm ourselves. To harm ourselves. And, in fact, a few weeks before, I was having a chat with Michael outside, and some weeks before, and I was just sharing with him things that God has been laying in my heart. And, you know, even as God is speaking to us as a church, and even, committing it to even the prophetic meeting yesterday, I was just confident that this is what God, this is the intention, this is direction which God wants us to go. So, if you were to build an organization, call it a big organization that would last 2,000 years, and they tell you to give two things that they need to know, you would make sure that those two things are things that would last them till forever. Does that make sense? So, when Jesus was going to speak about the church, he spoke about it twice. The first one, and it was, now these informations are a process of harming yourself. So, you know, when I said harming yourself, I'm saying that certain things would happen, but I am giving you this tool to be able to deal with it. Now, the first thing Jesus spoke about the church is in Matthew 16, verse 17 to 18. Jesus replied, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by the flesh, but by the Spirit, but my Father in heaven, I tell you, you are Peter, on this rock will I build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail against you. So he's saying, the church will come into conflict with the power of hell. But as long as you understand the foundation, which is the revelation of who Jesus is, he's saying that the gate of hell will not prevail against it. So he's saying throughout generations, there will always be a challenge of the gate of hell trying to prevail against the church. But as long as the church understands and stands on this principle, no matter what happened, it will not go down. Any place where has gone down, as in, you know, a church that has lost purpose and it seems like it is totally defeated. The issue is that they have moved away from this foundation. The foundation is who is Jesus and the revelation of who he is. As simple as that is the anchor by which Jesus placed his church. Does that make sense? Amen?
Amen.
Now, the second thing that Jesus spoke about was about conflict and how to resolve it. So, when Jesus was going to create his church, he had the intention that the gate of hell will come against it. And the second thing he spoke about was that there will be internal conflict within the church. So, what does that mean? Is that it is never a surprise to Jesus that issues will arise. Does that make sense? Now, so if I have an expectation that no, it will never arise, then you are looking at a place that Jesus never had planned for. Matthew chapter 18. So it says, if your brother sins and go and show him his fault in private, if he listens, pay attention to you, then you have won back your brother. If he doesn't listen, take another one along, two or more, and every word is confirmed by testimony of two or three. And I said, if he pays no attention and refuses to listen and obey, he said, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen, let him be to you as a Gentile, unbeliever, and a tax collector. What he's saying is that the person that does not understand this principle of dealing with conflict and resolving it, the issue is the issue of faith. Their understanding of what they think Christianity is. Does that make sense? So Jesus said, the issue is that let that person just see him as they have not understood what they have accepted. So what I'm trying to say is that, and please, you know, of course, when the Bible says brothers, and it says treat him as an unbeliever, so that means that this brother that he's talking about is a believer. Does that make sense? So before we see, so what I'm trying to say is that most of the time when the Bible is talking about brothers and sisters, except when Jesus is speaking, he's not talking about your family people. He's talking about people who are together with you in faith. So what I'm saying is that it is an expectation that Jesus had. And he was saying, this is how, if those situations occur, this is how you deal with it. This is how you deal with it. Please note that he did not eventually say that both of you will. He said that one of you, in case one of you does not agree, you are supposed to look at that person and say, this person doesn't understand Christianity yet. So even in the best resolution that Jesus' system brings, it is not a resolution that everything will be, you both will be saying yes. Does that make sense? Amen?
Amen.
So, now, what we are looking at is that the way Jesus, and see, as long as we are in the body of Christ, this will be come up at intervals. If you were not be, I believe Jesus would have spoken about how to destroy demonic this. We didn't talk about that. He only had two opportunities, and the two opportunities, he used one for the foundation, and the second one he spoke on the relationship between the brethren. So, now, says some people were asking Jesus, "Sir, give us signs that we will know that the time, that the end time is coming." And please, you would note that we are already in end time. Do we agree? So Matthew chapter 24, when they were speaking to Jesus, Jesus said, "Then many will be offended." And we'll see that who is this man that he's talking about. "Many will be offended and will betray one another." Please note that he's saying that there is a possibility that it will be mutual. He said they will, and they will hate one another. Let me explain it. That's why I put it in so that you can see what I'm saying. Or we will use Bible to interpret the scripture. The Bible says that many will be offended, and that will lead to them betraying one another. What is betrayal? Betrayal is in this case, and I will explain to us, is that is when one is first of all looking after their own interest above another. Now, this person will say, "I am offended, so as a result, myself comes first." Are we together? So he said, they will now, after they betray one another, it will not get to a point where they begin to hate one another. He now said, "Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many." Now, what is going to happen? This is, you will see the progression of what Jesus is talking about. Now, let me just quickly point out something to us. Proverbs chapter 18, just two scriptures now. The Bible says, "An offended friend is hard to win back than a forfeited city." He said, argument separates friends like a locked gate. What is a locked gate? A locked gate is that you will check that person when before they come in. The days of them coming in and out is gone. So he's saying that when somebody is offended, one of the things that they first of all do is that they build a wall around them to protect themselves. And that's why Jesus said the thing that will happen as a consequence of offense is betrayal. Betrayal means that, you know, myself first. When there is no, I will put a gate around. And he said, forfeited city is that a forfeited city is a city that protects itself heavily. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So let's go back to the scriptures. So that's why he said they will be offended and it will lead to betrayal. Why would that lead to betrayal? Because when everybody begins to look out for themselves first, please know that Jesus was not talking about unbelievers. And we say that they will not begin to hate one another. Now, hate is not what we talk about, that the hate is not talking about, I'm going to kill that person. No, hate is, let's go to 2 Samuel, please. In the Bible says, Absalom never said a word to Hanun, neither good or bad, because he hated Hanun. So, you're like, what is wrong? What should I do? What should I not do? Should I come here? Should I not come here? We are all okay. But what the Bible is saying is that is an expression. You're already getting to the border point. Basically, you will not say good or bad, the Bible issue. Amen. Let's go back home. So the Bible says, as a result, false prophets will arise and deceive many. Now, one of the things I tell people is this, is that when you are offended and betrayed, or you feel offended, who do you call? Who has your ears at that time? The Bible says in the last days, people will develop itchy ears and they will gather pastors to themselves. So most of the things is that because of this person is offended, they fall prey. Please look at false prophet as we explained this yesterday. It's not only prophet and prophetess. That's what we're talking about. You're talking about, you know, people who would tell you, you know, I was talking to somebody some weeks back, and I said, the person called me a servant of God, was a ministry, and he was boiling about certain things. And after he spoke to me, we said, no, don't worry. This is how we go. This is how you do. This is how we do it, and things like that. And I said to him recently, I said, each time you're offended, something has happened in your church and you're boiling. You know, as a pastor, you need somebody to just call and scream. I said, you know what I will say? He said, yes. I said, before you called me, you know what? You know my response. He said, then why did you call me? Does that make sense? Because what he wants is somebody that will challenge his point of view and calm him down. He knows that when I call this person, he will not say, go and deal with them. Or go and get somebody, that person, he has offended you. I said, make sure you return it. Don't behave like a fool again. He knows that is what I will not, and I'm going to say, but yet he comes. And I have people like that around me. I'm not talking about I'm talking about ministers of God that God has blessed me around, who will call us, Pastor Bayo, how we will speak. It can take 2 hours. But the reason why they called is because they are trying to avoid speaking to somebody that would steer them up to the point that they would now retaliate. At times you speak to somebody, you are still at level one. After you finish that conversation, you are already at level 15. So the question Jesus is saying, after they get to this point, the only thing they will fall for is a false prophet. And please, like I said, we are not talking in this context about prophets or prophetess. We are talking about who do you call to say, excuse me, this and this and this and this. And the Bible says that there are 7 things God hates. The last thing in that scripture, the Bible says, people who sow discord between brethren. So when somebody calls you and is fuming, are you adding to it and propping them up to say, even if you know certain things, you need to weigh, am I going to add to this discord or maintain it? Yoruba people will say, Ojabo Bale Bini, Shembe Tiba. I was teaching some people in uni then, and one of my guys came and he said, I was in lectures, and he said, Payo, do you know all these subjects that you're teaching? So he said, it's better you leave there this way that you teach them rubbish and you not destroy their life on top of what is. So if you don't know it, tell them I don't know. And I'm adding to it and things like that. Amen. Now, he now said, because lawlessness will abound. Basically, people who will just, he said, the love of many will wax cold. Please, when you look at this love that the Bible is talking about, that works good, is agape. It's not the love that says, I love you as long as you are good. It is the love that says, I love you despite the fact. And the Bible says, the issue will not happen, that love will begin to grow cold. Because what has happened? Betrayal has set in. Offense has set in. So the way of I love you in that way The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us. This love is not the love that would say, I will love you as long as you are good. It is this love is a love that says, I will love you even though you misbehave. And he said, Jesus now said, but he who endures will be saved. So did Jesus say, now the person that can, despite all of these things, can still maintain their love and it doesn't grow cold. He said, that person is the one that will be saved. Are we together? Amen. So, it's not that, and we will come to a little bit of practicality, but just because of our time, but it's just what we are looking at is as the Bible begins to explain to us. Now, you know, this love that we are talking about, let's just look at quickly, just go to the next, sorry, two scriptures now. God bless you. The Bible says, above all, 4 Peter 4:8 Amplified, it said, above all, have fervent, unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. It overlooks unkindness and unselfishly seeking the best of others. You know what selfish love is? Is as long as it pays me, then I'll love you. If you don't love me back the way I do, that's why the Bible talks about unselfish seeking the love. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, in scriptures, there would always be there are words that are used, like I just explained, there are words that are used and are used in different, what it means is slightly different. It's the same, but what it means is slightly different. And one of the words you would see in scripture is son or child. So when the Bible says, as many, let's go to 1 John, the Bible says, as many that have received him, he has given them power to be called the sons of God. Now, this son is called, in Greek, it's called techno. A lot of people will call it techno. It depends on which way you are using it. It said, even them that believe on his name. Now, what he's saying is that these sons are the son. And for everyone, when you come to Christ, the Bible says that The Bible says that you are a son of God or you're a child of God. Now, what this means is that, assuming somebody, you give birth to a child and they put them in a nursery, in a place all together. And the only way you can identify your child in the midst of all, let's say you have all black kids there, in the midst of all of them, is the name that they put on their tag. Then you say, well, this is my child. Does that make sense? Because at that time, the only way you can know them is by the name. That is all. Now, there is another part where the Bible uses sons. These are sons that are identified by, because they have grown so much to be like their parents. You know, there is a way that somebody will behave and you say, Omola Bajalili. Does that make sense? I shared with us some time ago, I went to preach in a church in Ojodu, or something in Nigeria at the time. And I knew the owner of the church, I knew they knew my family and things, but she doesn't know me. So, and I deliberately just wanted to go there, do my preaching, and leave. And as soon as I finished my conversation, or the sermon, the woman, so when they wanted to pray for me, the woman said, who is this boy? Where did he come from? So, and The person that probably said, he's this person's son. He said, He said, as he used this, he said, now, it is not by name I was identified. Does that make sense? So you would go on the Bible, let's go to Romans. The Bible says, for those who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit are called the sons of God. Now, these sons here is different. These sons here are those who have come to a point that the way they identified them as sons is how well they have become like the Father. Does that make sense? So the two sons, one is the general son that every child of God is. But as we grow older with God, it is the ways by which God is, you know, God is expressed through us, expressed in us. Let's go on. Let's look at the scripture together. The Bible says, Jesus talking here, Jesus said, you have heard the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting like the true children of your Father. The one, another translation will say you sons. Now, what he's saying here is that these are the children that have come to maturity, that the way they act is you are not identifying them by name, but you are identifying them by action. So he now said, you will be the children of your Father in heaven. Because this is how your Father behaves. He said, your Father gives sunlight to both evil and to good, and to send rain on the just and the unjust. So what he's saying is that when you begin to behave in that way, you are acting like your Father. Amen. Amen. So you can safely say, I am not acting like a fool. I am acting like my Father. Because people say, you are going to turn yourself to a footmat. No, I am acting like my Father. I am acting like my Father. In fact, the ESCV puts it, says, pray for those who mistreat you. Pray for those. He said, then you'll be acting like your Father in heaven. Then you'll be acting like your Father in heaven. And I know that, you know, what I'm trying to say is that that is why, you know, when we see the way scripture deals with this, you know, this Psalm 55, verse 12 to 14, he said, it is not an enemy who taunts me. I could bear that. How many of us feel like that at times? There's other people that it offend me. It's okay. He said, but it is not my foe who so arrogantly insult me. I could have hidden from them. He said, instead, it is you, my equal, my companion, my close friend. What good fellowship we once enjoyed as we walked together into the house of the Lord. So what I'm saying is that the Bible is not a scripture that hides the truth. It tells you the way it is. Amen. Now let's go on to Psalm 35, the one that people normally read. Amen. He said, they repay me evil for good. I am sick with despair. Yet, when they are healed, I grieve for them. I deny myself by fasting for them. I pray, my prayers returned unanswered. He said, I was sad as though they were my friend or my family. I grieving for them as my own mother. That is David's response to situations like that. He said, I'm not hiding the fact that when I do good to them, they pay me back for evil. I am not denying that fact. But despite that, the way I would, when I grieve for them, the way I care for them is like my own mother. May God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus. Amen. The scripture says, if you, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, he said, of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing what is wrong. So, if you go out now and you run red light and they give you at many points and you say, I'm now a Christian that I did not fight back. You are not a Christian. That's how the Bible is called. I'm saying there is nothing. God doesn't hand over, what's it called? Points for if you did something wrong and they punish you for it. It doesn't. Or you did something wrong and people scolded you. I said this. I said, you see, I hit back home. I would not have taken it. But now I thank God. God is saying, well, who does that concern? Who does that concern? It doesn't concern me. He said, but if you suffer for doing and enduring it patiently, he said, God is pleased with you. Because you are doing something that is wrong, and people are, whatever it is, as far as God is concerned, it's not a commendation. When he commends his people, and please, when we begin to read 1 Peter is rewriting to Christians, and you will see that one of the things that he was talking about was to Christians as we go on. In the Amplified of that first, he says, after all, he said, what kind of credit is there if when you do wrong you are punished for it? You endure it patiently. He said, but if you do what is right and patiently, undeserved, endure the suffering. He said, this finds favor with God. This finds favor with God. So you see more as we look into the 1 Peter chapter 3. That's what I said, the 1 Peter is written. He said, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Tender-hearted and humble in attitude. Do not repay evil for evil. So what he's talking about is the brethren. He said, do not retaliate insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with blessings. He said, that is what God has called you to do. Somebody is saying, God, I don't know my calling. This is your calling. Your calling, the calling every Christian has is to be patient and not retaliate. That is your calling. That is my calling. And the Bible says that, and he will grant you his blessing. One of the things that Chancellor will say, you will inherit a blessing. That is why one of the things that I was saying to somebody some time ago, I said, if only people can see that when a blessing is around you, offense will come. Because the devil knows that it's an opportunity for you to drop it. That is why when a service goes on and certain things happen within the service, they will say, don't talk, don't be annoyed, don't be offended, because what they are saying is that so that this blessing can be yours. But once you step out and you do not follow scripture, that blessing is lost. Amen. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So, the Bible says, if you follow these things, nobody can harm you. What does it mean? You are at the point where Jesus said that if somebody takes your shoes, or if somebody takes your shirt, give them your coat, give them your... So basically, So he's saying that, let's go to verse 13. He said, Who is going to harm you if you eagerly do, if you are eager to do good? Basically, what he's saying is that if you are always forthcoming, it will be difficult to be hurt. If you are always the one that is like, you know, it's not, oh, it's a contemplation, but you know, I've already, there's something you want to take from me that has not been taken already, that I'm not willing to give. That's why I said, who is going to harm you? Please note that the scripture was talking about offense and things like that. It said, who is going to harm you? How are you going to be offended? Because you're already at a place where offense is not an issue. Because you have taken it as a calling. Amen. If you are called to be a singer and they give you a microphone, are you going to be annoyed? You're going to say, thank you for bringing my microphone. So if you are called to deal with offense, and they bring offense to you, you're just going to be, this is part of my calling. Somebody told me once, the person was saying, prophetically, the person came to church, the person came to church, and I said, when the person was leaving, he said you will get to a place where they will slap you as you are preaching. And do you know what? Since then, I have been eagerly expecting it, that it will happen. So if you now come and slap me, or you throw something at me, it doesn't bother me. It's not an issue. Honestly, it's not an issue. There was a day I went to a church and I began to preach, and I could see that people were getting very uncomfortable. I said, by the way, you are allowed. There's a prophecy that I will get slapped somewhere. They will beat me. I said, you know, it's not a problem. If it is you, you are fulfilling God's purpose. That's all. And I tell you, I say, that's why it's not an issue. That is why when the apostles were beaten, they were rejoicing, because it is a calling. That is their calling. The Bible says that one of the reasons calling the Bible says you are called to suffer for Christ. So there are certain things that personally to me, you know, it's not an issue. Honestly, it's not an issue. You know, as a pastor, one of the things you would see, you know, if you are a boxer and you are now running that they should not hit you, then why are you a boxer? You know, you are in the ring and they are punching you, and I say, me, I don't like the way they are punching you. The first somebody will say, what do you think you are coming into? God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible understands that we are human. And that is why Jesus did not hide away from it from the beginning. That as humans, we would have, especially when you are passionate together about certain things, emotions will be running. And, you know, the Bible says, and this is where I am, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, we're still reading 1 Peter, just moving around 1 Peter. The Bible says, so then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must also harm yourself with the same attitude. Harm yourself with the same attitude. Why was Jesus suffering? He suffered from the people that he came to save. He was unjustly treated. Even from his own people. It wasn't the Gentiles. It was his own people. In fact, it was Judas in his own circle that handed him over. So the Bible says that same attitude that Christ had, harm yourself with it. That's why we started off by saying, harming yourself. He said, be ready to suffer too. He said, if you have suffered physically for Christ, you are finished with sin. Basically, what he's saying is that you cannot be offended again because you already harmed yourself with this truth. you already harmed yourself with this truth. Now, we grow in our walk with God as we the path, I hope you understand what I'm saying. The path by which you grow with God is, there's no two way to call it, is by suffering. I know it's no good, but that's scripture. The Bible says, Jesus, let's go on, please. The Bible says, Son, again, you will see that this son is the one that he said, Son, though he was son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. So, this is how God developed his children. Something is hitting you over. God is saying, go and hug that person. You learn obedience in that way. For Jesus to be on the cross, the way he could learn obedience is to say, the first thing, Father, forgive them for what they are doing. In pain. That is where obedience could be manufactured. It is easy to obey God when you are not in a very tight corner. And God is saying, oh, no, we have not, this obedience is not original. Your original obedience is when you feel like, and God is saying, can we go and say hello to them? Can we take them out for lunch? Sir, which one? Yeah, you go there and you are saying, hey, well, let's buy something. Let's buy something. No. This is not, you are going to find a table, book a very good restaurant, sit down, have a chat. And he's saying, no, you are learning obedience. So if you are keen to learn obedience and grow with God, it would be asking you to do things when you feel, that is why he used Jesus as an example. That even when he had every cause to say that, with all that I have done for you, this is how you repay me. It was at that point, the Bible was saying, okay, let's do obedience check. We learn obedience through the things we suffer. You learn, there's nothing, you learn, you see, all the worship of dancing and things, those worship are good. But when things are hard, and God is, and you are playing, hey, you are, see, God is manufacturing something out. But the one that, you know, I just hit a jackpot of 10 million pounds, and you are saying, you know, it's good. But God is saying that one is good. But we need to come to the avenue of where we train our people. Where we train our people. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So, pulling this to a point, a close. Some practical things, which I will call practical things. Paul said, one thing I do is I exercise myself. Let's go to Acts, please. He said, and therein do I exercise myself. Always have a conscience void of offense towards God and men. So what he's saying is that I am doing a deliberate exercise. Paul is saying that no matter how anointed I am, if I do not regularly do this exercise on myself, I will not be able to have a clear conscience. So the question is, it is not that do you not get hurt. The question is that do you exercise your mind regularly? Do you purge your mind regularly? One of the first things I said earlier is, who do you listen to when you're offended? Where do you seek comfort? Because you know, exercise is not always easy. Those who go to gym, exercise is not always easy. You will start. In fact, when you are for those who are building muscle, amen. I see. When you are first of all using the small weight, you are not building anything. The muscle begins to show when it now begins to, when you get to a point and the muscles are stretched, then pain begins to come. Then after a while, you get used to it. Exercise doesn't start easy. And do you know one thing that why footballers do a lot of exercise? Is because the more you exercise, the less you are prone to injuries. Does that make sense? So the more you constantly exercise yourself, the less you'll be prone to hurt. I'm not saying that it will not happen, but the less you will be prone to it because you are constantly exercising yourself. So let's see how he says, I will exercise my conscience. Let's see one of the things that Jesus was saying. Jesus said, so watch yourself. Basically what he's saying, take charge of yourself. Be conscious of your conscience. He said, if a brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times a day and 7 times come back to say, I repent. Another, I think Matthew talks about 70 times 7. Please, if somebody does the same thing 7 times in a day, what are you going to say? You think I'm a fool? You think I don't know what you're doing? You know? Beat me once. Fool me once, I am. Fool me once, I'm. I don't know if you've heard it before, but I've heard this many times. Fool me twice, it's on me. Shame on me. So, but Jesus is saying, no. 7 times 7 a day. And he said, I repent. He said, you must forgive them. He now went on, and the apostle said, okay. And this is where everybody gets to. And the apostle said, sir, you need to help our faith too. Because this thing I am talking about is not easy. So what I'm telling you is the Bible is not hiding away from you. It said, Lord, increase our faith. Because this thing that you're asking us to do is as if it is made for aliens. But we, in our whole level, it is difficult. So Jesus said, he replied, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted it, and it will obey you. What does that have to do with anything? Jesus is saying, the more you begin to talk to that issue in your heart and say, Bayo, you will not behave this way. Bayo, you will not behave this way. Jesus forgave you, you will forgive. This is my calling. No, it will not happen. That's what Jesus was saying, that if you say to that tree, why did they call it mulberry tree? Now, the tree is something that has gained ground. The roots, something is feeding it for it to grow to that point. Jesus said, even no matter how it has been there, how long it has been, if you learn the habit of speaking to yourself and talking to your conscience, you would see that gradually it will begin to make way. That's what Jesus was saying to them. You think it is impossible, but start speaking to yourself about it. Make conscious effort to watch over yourself. Get rid of it. No matter how hard it is, talk to yourself. If you have to play a worship song, pray for yourself and say, no, this is not right. This is not right. You know, you see their picture on Facebook. See that they are doing something and they are praying money. Ah, God! This person offended me and you are still blessing them. You need to put yourself back and come to the place that Jesus said. Start to tell yourself, what kind of nonsense is this? I thought you are forgiven. How? Tayo, you need to deal with your heart. And you begin to pray, you begin to speak to yourself. That's why the Bible said, say, you know, I was at a place one time with, you know, some men of God. They invited me to a program. This was about 4 or 5 years ago. And things, they invited me to a place, so I was going to preach. And there was this particular pastor that has taken it as his calling to just frustrate my life. So I have done my best to always avoid him and just say, well, you know, he's quite older than I am, so, you know, at the end of the day, he's like a father to me, and things like that. So we got there, and they now put me next to him on the altar. I was like, different things was going through my mind. I did see people who are probably sitting next to me, they have had it. My mind was saying, I'm going to get the man who's going to preach. I'm going to try to give him some silent pass that he will know that way. You know, all those kind of things. And my mind, and this scripture came to my mind, and I was saying, get deep behind me, Satan. Shut up my mind. Be quiet. The person sitting next to me would have been, where is Satan? But I was dealing with the issue in my heart, because that is how Jesus told us to deal with it. Jesus is not saying that your mind is a blackboard that you can just wipe and wipe it out, and all memory, you know, you delete memory, and all memory evaporates. That is not what scripture is teaching. That's why he said, the disciples honed up by saying, what you're telling us is hard. But Jesus said, this is the way you deal with it. You continually speak to yourself about it. Talk yourself out of it. With time, that tree that has grown in your heart will be uprooted and thrown away. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just see if I have one scripture that goes on there. Now, so we come to the scripture that we read earlier. And this is key in the heart of God. Even the prayer that we pray, the Bible says, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. So the devil knows that all I can, if I can make this person to stay in offense, it's not a problem. So this man, you know, he was forgiven and he did not forgive his brother. Now, Jesus points your forgiveness towards the way he forgave you, not the way the other person acted. So Jesus said something which I think we should end with. Jesus said, in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers and tortured him, and he will pay back all he has owed. Verse 35, Jesus said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each one of you, if unless you forgive your brothers or your sisters from the heart. There is no clear way that Jesus can put it. Than to say, except you do this, we too will react to you the same way. Now, please, when he's saying that forgive your brothers, he's basically saying that you are the one that is offended. He said, you are the one expected to forgive. I said, if you will not do that, then we will not do the same thing. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. The question is, as we close, are you going to genuinely say to Jesus and say, like the disciple says, help my faith? I want to really do this, but I'm struggling, and I need you to help my faith. It could be in your relationship with other people. There might be people that you hold and said, ah, what you have done for me, I just can't. And it's okay as long as you are willing to receive help. You know, at the end, when you look at this scripture from the beginning, what they start is was that same story. When Jesus said to them, he said, if you speak to the mountain, it would, you know, I speak to the mulberry tree, I tell it to go, it would go. And Jesus ended it with this story. So Jesus was saying, I don't want you to take that as a license to say, God is still dealing with me. That's why he ended that story with this. That so this is not an endless part of, I am working with God, we are trying to resolve the issue. No. He's saying there is an end to this story. If at the end of it, you are not proactive to ensure that you get rid of it, this is what will happen. Let us rise, please.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. Have a blessed week.